Hi, I'm Rebecca Pearson. I was the supervising location manager on Wolf Hall, The Mirror and the Light. I work alongside the director, the designer and the producer, researching and visiting as many locations as possible as we work through creatively and practically and financially what would work best for the production. Wolf Hall is so unique because it is all filmed on location. We didn't go to a studio once, either in series one or series two. And that's mostly down to the fact that Peter, the director, really wants to create an atmosphere for the actors to get the best out of them. So it was really important for him that we got the locations right. And we worked very closely together and with Pat, the designer, to get the right locations to suit the script. We're lucky enough to have some absolutely stunning National Trust properties in the Southwest region where the majority of The Mirror and Light was filmed. We visited a vast number of properties all over the country. We ended up filming in Montacute House, Great Chalfield Manor and Horton Court, which are all properties that were also featured in the original series as well. Horton Court plays the study, the new study of Thomas Cromwell. And it was really important to Peter that we return back to that space because we saw it quite a lot in that first series. And then Great Chalfield Manor also plays part of Thomas Cromwell's house, Austin Friars. And so we would link the two houses but to pretend they were all one space, which actually I found out that Thomas Cromwell, he did, as he rose to power and he had more and more capital behind him, he would buy his neighbours' properties and he would just make his space bigger and bigger and bigger, which is one of the things that Peter wanted to try and show. The reason why he loved all the properties, including Montacute, was because they have rooms that lead from one to the other. Peter really likes to create movement in the edits as he cuts between scenes. And this is one of the reasons it's really important for him to have rooms that link into another. Often we find in properties that there might be one beautiful Tudor room or the one room that can play Tudor, but finding three or four that are linked together is actually really hard because people change their properties to suit the fashions of the times or they maybe extend. So Great Chalfield Manor particularly, you can just follow Cromwell as he walks inside and outside, upstairs, and we can just see him really moving around. We show Great Chalfield both internally and externally, and the house is one of my favourite National Trust houses. It's got such a great atmosphere to it and I like the proportions and that it feels like it's a home and you really can be transported into a different era and what it might have been like to have lived back in the Tudor times. And the gardens are absolutely stunning. Patsy, who is in charge of the gardens, is just so talented. The gardens as we show them are, we're coming into winter. So they're just on the tail end of their life for the year. So it definitely looks different from series one in the gardens. Montacute House, we filled with dressing. We bought so much furniture in, so it might be harder to notice where that comes in. There is a stunning tapestry in one of the drawing rooms, which is of the correct period. When we filmed at Montacute in the first series, our director of photography, Gavin Finney, he absolutely loved the tapestry and the feeling of filming in this room with candles. Back then, it felt very special. Sadly, this time around, we couldn't use candles because that there were some works happening on the stairway, which meant that it wasn't safe to light candles. But we still managed to feature the room and the tapestry. And even in episode one, there is a fantastic wide shot showing the king sitting in front of this tapestry. So although most of the furniture won't be there when visitors visit, there will be this tapestry. And of course, all the panelling is stunning. And one of the reasons that we choose these places, because the intricacy that you get on location and the age, it takes a long time to achieve that in a set or in a studio. And I think it's this wooden panelling in particular that drew us to so many locations. And Montacute, it's slightly lighter. At Great Chalfield, you've got some beautiful stonework and intricate panelling. And in Horton as well, it gives a real mood to the drawing room, to the study. Filming series two of The Mirror and the Light was made a lot more achievable because of the success of Series 1. And not only the fact that it won awards and was highly regarded, it was the same core creative team, so the same heads of department in Series 1 for Series 2. And that really helped. So when I was approaching all of these historic properties, we came with a really good reputation. Also because all the crew were so fantastic when we were actually filming, which meant that the National Trust could trust us when we were filming and when we were putting in our requests with what we would want to do. You know, filming with candles, with horses, writing with ink that might spill or be knocked over. We have to work alongside conservators, staff, volunteers and everybody to ensure that the properties aren't damaged at all during our filming time. And we've got sometimes, you know, 200 people on the whole crew, but maybe only 50 people inside, sometimes more if it's a large scene with lots of extras. So for me and my team, massive challenge was conservation, is putting in flooring mats. We also do things like covering pieces of furniture that are out of shot but close to the crew members, putting lagging on windows so that cables can run through safely without damaging these historic windows. So there's a lot that happens off the camera behind, both outside as well. You know, we have to look after parking and making sure our large vehicles don't damage anything as well. So there's a lot off the scenes that we do to look after all the properties. But it was very challenging this time around, whereas in Series 1 we were filming in summer, this time around we were filming in winter. So of these properties, you know, they are big spaces which need a lot of heating. So we spent a lot of our time discussing how best to keep everybody warm, which is difficult when you've got people coming in and out with doors being wide open, and with heating systems that might have to be lowered because of a set piece or a false wall that's in the way, so we couldn't put the house heating on, and how we achieve anything like that safely. And so on the whole, I think that my team and all of the crew did a really good job of looking after these historic properties. And it really is a massive team effort. It's from, you know, the film office having to help us with last minute recces and visits, and to 100 times that we come with different crew members looking at different aspects of the filming and how it might work in the scripts, to the nitty-gritty on the filming days, to the volunteers that sit there for hours overseeing that we don't go in a room that we're not supposed to go in. So I feel very lucky that we were able to film in the properties that we did. And I really do hope that we will have captured some of the essence of these beautiful places, and that they'll look fabulous on screen, and that even the people that can't go and visit them in life can visit them, you know, in the comfort of their own home, and that we can bring a little bit of history to life.